ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
And that would be me. And here I am. And there's so much going on. This is new for me. New for you, I'm sure. Actually, it's new for everyone. New for Facebook. Supposedly, this is on Facebook. I'm watching myself on live stream. I'm on delay. And here I am. Actually, this is me, but it's not really me, because Ken Sheets is in the house, and he's making all this happen. And true to life changes, we go with the flow, and things changed the other day when Ken said, oh, we're going to come in and do this live streaming thing. And, of course, we said yes, and here we are, because life changes, and we change with it. But, of course, we weren't ready. I still needed to lose about 10 more pounds. And so, so just so you know, the camera adds, is it 40 pounds, Ken?
Yes.
40, okay. 50?
So, push it, man.
All right, so we're grateful to Ken Sheets and BuzzBro for connecting us here live on live stream and on Facebook and wherever else we're connected. And, of course, we're connected on BBS Radio. And, of course, as things change, we tried a couple different cameras, and what we thought we would have going didn't work. So we're using a camera that was like the backup to the backup. So the next time we do this, it won't be this one. And also the same thing with the mic. So if you aren't hearing us as well as you'd like to hear us, you can find us at www.lifechanges.ws and hear us better there when you connect through BBS Radio. And I am doing this. Okay.
We don't lose you.
I'm being technical at the same time. I can do it all. Thank you, Ken. So, I am excited. It seems like every show, like I said on Facebook today, is different, and there's newness in every show. And this one is no exception. Our guest today is Lucia Rene. And had we known we were doing this live thing, we would have had the guest here. Although we couldn't, actually, we knew on Saturday or Sunday when we spoke with Ken, but we couldn't change our guest because we're so lucky to have her, because she has stopped doing interviews at the moment. And thanks to Susanna Gratz, who works with our guest, Rene Lucia, or Lucia Rene, she said, no, you've got to do Life Changes with Filippo. We are so grateful that people feel that way about our show. And so thank you, Susanna, and thank you, Lucia. And for that reason, we couldn't bring in a live guest for this live streaming. So, there. You have all the explanations. I feel like
She's live on the telephone.
Oh, yeah, she is live on the telephone, of course. This is not going to be pre-recorded. You will just see me while she is talking. And hopefully you'll be able to hear her well. And again, if you can't hear too well, as we are learning how to make this work best, you can always hear us again at lifechanges.ws. So I wanted to share something really briefly that I thought was kind of humorous, and it made me think. I was with a friend, and someone looked at her and then looked at me and thought we made a great couple or something, and asked if we were together. And she said, oh, no, Filippo, no. We're just friends. We're just friends. And I thought for a moment, I have been through two husbands with her, marriage and divorce, and several different relationships, and I'm just a friend. But whoever that was, oh, he's my husband, he's my lover, he's my partner, whatever she used to call them. But me, I'm just a friend. what does that mean, just a friend? I mean, those he's in her life weren't even there during the ups and downs that he were causing her. But I was. But I'm just a friend. And we say things like that all the time. I'm sure I say it too without paying attention. So I'm going to be thinking about what I'm saying when I say just a friend, because a friend is really important. As a matter of fact, I'm recalling once visiting a friend in New York. I was visiting this friend, and this friend had just entered a new relationship. And so this friend could not spend very much time with me, even though I was in New York only 2 or 3 days at the most. Because this friend had a date and this and that, and, you know, this is new, and he was all excited, and I didn't get to see him while I was there, and I thought, you know, some of those relationships come and go, but some friendships last forever. And as far as I'm concerned, he should have been spending more time with me while I was in New York. But probably in his mind, I was just a friend. So I'm looking for the friends who look at me as more than just a friend. Maybe when I get asked someday if a friend and I are together, and I'll say, oh, no. Whoever this was, Carol or whoever, is a very dear friend. Or Carol is a friend and a half. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. So I'll need to think about it too. And there it is. You know, it's an interesting thing, the way here we are connecting this way, which, you know, doesn't really seem normal. This is new. This is new for all of us, and we're going to be doing more of this kind of thing. We're going to be connecting instead of being on the phone. Like when people were talking on the phone before, that was new and weird to certain people at the time. But to us who grew up with the telephone, talking on a cell phone was kind of new and weird. And then to the kids that are growing up today with cell phones, that's not new and weird. It might be weird to them to use the phone hanging on the wall, for those who still have those. But pretty soon, kids are going to grow up and say, well, how come I can't see the person I'm talking to? Because they're going to be used to, like the iPhone has now, you can look at somebody. This is different. This is new. This is wonderful. I wonder what the next step is. And I look forward to that. So, no coincidence, last week I was talking about a situation that I had. And I didn't expect that I would start crying. Yeah, if you heard the show, you heard that. I was overcome by emotion as I'm talking to this person whose energy reminded me of somebody that I had a very short connection with, but a very strong connection with. And soon after that connection, this person passed on. And without getting into the story, what I said was that I had met this lady. She was a scientist. She was a teacher, a professor. She was an artist. She was one who read the tarot. And she was sharing with me things that I had never heard before when I met her as a young man in Italy. And she shared with me things that I didn't expect to hear. She said things about me that she wouldn't have known, and some things I didn't know. So it was a really wonderful, odd, amazing experience. But the part that really struck me, and here I am, I guess I'm repeating myself, but it's so apropos today because of who our guest is. The part that really struck me, it was so jarring that this man came into the room and saw me talking to her, and he said to her, "Go into the kitchen and make yourself useful and cook us some dinner," and then called her some awful names, as if that wasn't bad enough. And I didn't know how to react at the time, and I didn't know what to say, and I had barely just met the both of them, even though I was related to them, because I was born and raised here in America and not in Italy where they were. So maybe I was regretting in that moment of not saying something, of not defending her. And it was interesting that during the show, I purposely did not mention this person's name that was sharing so many beautiful things with me, because I didn't want to incriminate the other person who happened to be male and happened to be related to me. And it wasn't until after the show that I thought, wow, in a way, I'm still being party to this kind of behavior that I abhor. And I so wanted to get back on radio and say, this is her name. This is who she was, and the memory and the energy of what she brought was so important to me. And to remove energy from that particular male and that particular male energy that was blocking.
It's Lucia. How are you?
Oh, Lucia. I am Italian. I was about to say you'll have to excuse me. But no, I am proud to have that heritage. And I see Lucia, and I think Lucia. But Lucia.
Oh, well, Lucia is beautiful, too. Use that if you want, by all means.
I will. I'm about to introduce you in just a moment. So, Ken, maybe we'll need the volume on Lucia a little louder. So getting back to the story, it was important, and I'm so glad that Lucia's with us to hear this, that I realized that somewhere in the back of my mind, in recounting that story, I was still protecting the male energy that was perpetrating the female energy at that point. So I contacted my cousin Pietro, whose mother this was, and I asked him, would it be okay for me to talk about your mother and mention her on the air and her memory and the story? And he wrote back something that once again brought tears to my eyes and said, please tell everyone that my mother was Maria Caparella. And I'm not going to get emotional again. I'm just not. And he said, remembering the memory of my mother on your radio show is a big deal for me and for her. And he says, tell your audience that she spoke of you often. And I had forgotten all about this, but she did tell me. He said, tell your audience that she told me often that in a past life you were a king, and that you have come with the charisma and the courage to do what needs to be done as the world needs to change in this lifetime. Now, these are words that 20 years ago, I now remember her saying, but they did not mean anything to me. I wasn't able to take it in. And 20 years later, this woman had the courage in front of this tyrant of a husband that she had to say to me the things that there are changes coming into the world and that I would be a part of them. And then she left us. But she left us with that. And so I am so happy to be honoring her today and to have our guest, who not coincidentally will be speaking to us about more of the same. And so I want to remind everybody that you are listening to Life Changes with Filippo. I am Filippo, and we're live on BBS Radio and on live stream. And thanks to BuzzBros.com and Ken Sheets, here we are. Our guest is an ordained Buddhist monk. She is also a professional actress, a computer science consultant, a teacher of self-discovery, and most recently, a writer. Her Nautilus Award-winning book, Unplugging the Patriarchy, was released on the winter solstice. Actually, it was launched in the spring equinox, so how appropriate. She covered all the bases. Her exploration of consciousness has spanned 40 years and has drawn her to the practices of Hinduism, Zen, Advaita and Vajrayana Buddhism, and culminated in a 17-year apprenticeship to an enlightened master who taught American Buddhism, psychic development, and tantric mysticism. Again, she is an ordained Buddhist monk and has lectured on meditation and mysticism at universities throughout the United States and has shared her wisdom about how to energetically unplug from the fear-based patriarchy on numerous teleseminars and radio shows. And she's with us tonight on Life Changes with Filippo. Welcome, Lucia Renee.
Thank you, Filippo. I'm very happy to be here with you this evening.
Well, we know you're not doing interviews anymore at this point, so we are so lucky to have you tonight, and thank you for choosing our show to be on.
Absolutely. I was delighted to learn. I had sent you a book some time ago, and I kept looking at your name, and I thought, I wonder whatever happened to Filippo, and then my publicist said, oh, now you get to do Filippo, so I was delighted.
Well, I know you you had another interview, not an interview, but you had something going on just before the show, so you missed my whole intro, but you heard how I was talking about the male dominant energy over the female energy, and how still subconsciously in last week's show, though I wanted to bring this out, this story about this beautiful woman, somehow I was still protecting the male energy. So it's embedded in us more than we know. And you're saying in your book, and I'm going to show it here on live streaming, Unplugging the Patriarchy, you go on to say, a mystical journey into the heart of a new age. Tell us, it is possible to find the balance without the guilt here?
Find the balance without the guilt. The guilt about...
Well, as I was sharing, it seemed like I still needed to protect the male because myself, I'm a male, and this is the way the world is and all of that. And yet I know that there is so much that we don't need from that energy anymore. And I feel like a lot of us might feel guilty, like we are going against what we have been taught and what we know, quote unquote, to be true.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, and guilt is just such a waste of time, isn't it? You know, we've all had a terrific learning for the past 5,000 years. It's been pretty brutal, I think, on both sides, both the feminine and the masculine. Perhaps actually more brutal on the masculine, if the truth be told. But that learning is really coming to an end simply because we're at the end of an age. And the cycle is, the times are turning, and we're going into a completely different configuration. We've been learning about power, and more recently, of course, abuse of power. And now we're going into a paradigm where we're going to be learning about the energy of the heart and unconditional love and reverence for the earth and more egalitarian type of society. So I think the conditioning on both sides, you're right, is extremely deeply rooted. But I think also that the ascension that's happening and the vibration of the earth that just keeps increasing and increasing makes it very easy now for those of us who want to throw off our conditioning and really come, as you say so beautifully, into a state of balance again.
And, as I hear you speaking so elegantly and beautifully on this subject. I was thinking now, there's also the other side of it, the guilt on many part on many women who feel that for some reason it's embedded in them too, that they need to listen to their men or the patriarchy, right?
Well, yes. I mean, the patriarchy, by that I just mean the 5,000-year male-dominated society. I don't think there can be much argument that we've lived in a society where men have dominated, you know, the cultural systems and have classically dominated in the homes over the wife and children. So, the programming for women has been indeed very, very stringent, the programming to be a second-class citizen. A lot of women deal with worthlessness, feeling absolutely worthless. But men have very stringent programming as well. Men are taught to shut down their emotional bodies and to be the breadwinner and always be strong, and that's painful too, don't you think?
Absolutely. I've noticed that with many men that I've worked with and dealt with, and I think I feel sorry for them because they, too, they're out of balance, and they don't know it, but they show it. And what I like so much about your teachings and what I'm understanding is that you're not saying we need to throw the men away and just listen to the women.
No, I'm not for throwing them away at all. I'm rather fond of them. But I do find it interesting because right now I'm being called to work with women exclusively. And it's not my desire to exclude men at all. When men reach out to me, I'm very happy to have a conversation with them and help if I can. But the interesting thing to me is that as I go into more deeply helping women process their conditioning in order to throw it off, if you will, and to come into balance, to come into integrity and reclaim their power, which has really been denied to them in so many ways, often when you really get down to the root, the fear and a lot of the constructs that have been put in place. For example, you know, during the Inquisition, I'm working with a lot of women now who are going through just reliving, you know, what they lived through in the Inquisition, having metal collars put around their neck or being burned at the stake or women being raped, you know, and the residue of male energy that was left in the psyche from that. And always when we finish the process or removing the structural blockage from that past life, I always turn and look at the residue of masculine energy. And I ask it, what do you need? Because obviously you've been hanging on for a long time. And often what's needed is there's a fear there of letting go of their line to the feminine, even though it may be this fragile hold that they have, a being who has actually left the body but is still hanging, or a fragile hold that they have on the woman's heart. And so if you turn to them inwardly and ask, what do you need? And you give them the heart energy, or you give them, you show them the inner balance that they have, then always that soul, you know, the change that happens on the inner planes is 10 or 20 times more painful than the work that we've just done for the woman, which always, you know, speaking of breaking down and crying, I can usually help the woman through her process, but when it comes to the male energy and helping to reconcile that, I always find myself breaking down and crying because it's so horrific. The wounding of the masculine in the patriarchy has just been really brutal.
Wow. You know, you're reminding me of something I haven't thought of in a long time. When I used to sing operatically, I sang an opera called Norma, and it was about, I believe, the Druids. And I remember that the women had gathered and had sensed that there was going to be an attack on their town or something. And so they turned to the men and told them. And the men right away got their arms and they were going to attack to defend their town. And the women said, no, not now. And then they went back into meditation. And the men, I remember, we sang about, when is it time? When is it time? We're ready to go. We're ready to go. And the women kept saying, no, not now. And then at one point, the big diva comes out and says, okay, it's now. Go defend us. And then the men were able to go out. And to me, that seems like there might have been a balance at some time.
Yes, I have a similar story that I sometimes tell. Your story is very interesting because I think women have classically, you know, during the matrilinear age, certainly, that preceded the patriarchal age, they held positions of power. And one of the things that that women are very capable of doing is seeing, being visionaries and saying, this is what the community needs, this is what where the society is going, this is the next step, or this is enough. And I read this wonderful story of there was some country in Africa where they brought, I think it was 10 or 12 men, of course, from the society over to the United States for a tour. And, of course, they were blown away by going into supermarkets and seeing the society here after coming from a small village. But at the end, they were, you know, at the airport in New York City getting ready to leave, and a reporter asked them, what is the thing that, you know, has most impressed you? And one of them said, well, we're very troubled. We simply can't figure out why the women of the United States don't tell the men to stop. Mm. Always in our culture, you know, we go out and we hunt, and it's always the women who say, that's enough now, we have enough for the winter, you know? And I just thought that was such a dear story.
It is, and it's a good question. So it makes me wonder how. I think the why might be because a lot of people don't know how, because I'm sensing that, there's both. There's women don't know that it's time to, and then those that know it's time don't know how. And so if you know it's time, how?
Well, I think that is emerging, though, you see. One of my jobs, I am psychic, but my particular skill is being able to see the large overarching structures. And so I look as someone who is a warrior, a spiritual warrior. What is this time about, and what is the structure, and what are the moves we're making now, and what is the progression, and so on. And so since the spring equinox, and then particularly on the summer solstice, there have been a lot of changes, and I track the changes in the feminine consciousness on the planet. And women really have been called to stand, do what I call standing in their power, meaning not to stand against something or to stand for something, but to stand in a place of balance where that polarity of for and against come to rest, to really stand in integrity and be willing to move their personal agendas out of the way so the divine feminine can come through and act through them, really. Knowing that we are, as women and men, really, the divine feminine. We are that. We channel that at our highest. So I think, interestingly enough, what's coming up at the fall equinox for us here in the Western Hemisphere is extremely interesting, and I've really not been tracking this equinox, and I think it's going to be extremely powerful. But I think it is time. I think women are now being called to say, enough is enough. And it really happens first on an energetic level. So the energy of the feminine, the rise or the crescendo of feminine power has been increasing. And I think with this fall equinox, it will indeed begin to vibrate with this resonance of enough is enough. And at that time, it's going to be perfectly viable for us to begin to do a cleanup exercise in the world. You know, my book is about three women who came together and collaborated to, on an energetic level, dismantle the constructs that underlie the patriarchy. So that's sort of like an energy healer really working above the body in the subtle body, and then eventually the changes filter down into the physical body. Well, in the same way, you can change the foundational level you might say, or the constructs that underlie the patriarchal society. And it's really just time for them to change. It's the end of the cycle. It's the end of the age. So certain energetic constructs have to go away and others come into being. But so all of that was handled, and we're really seeing that now filter down into the physical. But this equinox is so fascinating because I think, you know, we're being, I just began looking at it in a new way. We're really being persecuted at this point by the patriarchy. You know, the media is ensnaring us and entrapping us. It is, we are, it's a campaign against us to keep us enslaved. And I think it's going to be perfectly viable now to just say, that's enough. That's enough for the media. We're gonna focus on the media and really take it down. Don't you think that would be lovely?
Well, actually, you know, we're gonna pause for a moment, but the thought that did come to my mind is if there's going to be a backlash. And so I'd like to ask you that question as soon as we come back. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio. And today's guest is Lucia Renee. And the book that we are discussing is Unplugging the Patriarchy, A Mystic Journey into the Heart of a New Age. And you could learn more about Lucia at lifechanges.ws. And you could also go directly to unpluggingthepatriarchy.com. Patriarchy, by the way, is spelled P-A-T like Tom, R like Robert, I-A-R-C-H-Y, so unpluggingthepatriarchy.com. The book is also available on Amazon.com and elsewhere, so you could also ask for it in your bookstores. We are having a great time tonight, as so many things are new and fun, and I'm juggling all these things as I'm learning to look into this little camera over here and learning to read little notes that are being passed to me and the text messages and emails that are coming up, and it's fun. So what's happening? What's happening is that this new app is available through Facebook and through live streaming, and of course, Ken Sheets of BuzzBros.com is on top of all of this, and he's been helping us so much with building our website and our YouTube page, et cetera, that he said, hey, there's this new thing, let's beta test it. And we are beta testing indeed. So in the beta test, if you can't see me very well, let us know. We will adjust that for the next time we do this. If you can't hear me very well or hear our guests very well, let us know that as well so we can adjust for next time. But you can always go to livestream.com if you're listening to us and didn't know we were beta testing. livestream.com/BuzzBros. That's B like boy, U-Z-Z, B like boy again, R-O-Z. That's livestream.com/BuzzBros. Or you can go, evidently, I haven't seen this yet, but can't wait to see it, facebook.com/Filippo Voltaggio, which is me. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O, and Voltaggio, V-O-L-T-A-G-G-I-O. That's facebook.com/Filippo Voltaggio. So that's what's happening today, as well as this wonderful interview that we're having with Lucia Renee, an ordained Buddhist monk, and so many other things. And we're discussing her book, Unplugging the Patriarchy. So, Lucia, yes, as we know, the pendulum sometimes does swing. And when it swings, sometimes it swings all the way to the other side. Is that going to happen this time?
Meaning, is there going to be a backlash?
Yeah.
Of course there'll be a backlash, but we're already in the midst of a huge backlash, so I don't really see what the difference is.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, they've kind of pulled out their big guns and they're really going for us. So I think we have every right to defend ourselves at this point.
So is it going to be like a confrontation where you expect people to say, we won't take this anymore, take it and shove it? Or is it going to be gentle, in your opinion, like, that's really not necessary, thank you for being who you are, but we don't need that anymore?
Yeah, exactly. We're hoping that it can be gentle. I mean, we're going to play it out in one of two ways, because the patriarchy is going to come apart and it is going to be replaced by something else that's absolutely necessary. So either we can play it all out in the physical, or we can play it all out in terms of consciousness. But as we know, many, many of the people on the planet are very adverse to change. And we've been locked into a system which is fear-based. And so, you know, it's hard to shake people out of their belief systems and to get them to see that in a more Gnostic way, that you are powerful, that you do have a right to own your own planet, to take back the planet. I think that's what's going to begin to happen more and more. So, yes, I'm all for doing it on the level of consciousness, and I work with a number of women and various groups of women. There are rings of power, very powerful rings of power of women forming all over the planet. And you can feel it. You can feel the difference. You can feel the changes in the air. And it really is up to women. They're on the front lines of consciousness. Women have to, in my estimation, rise up and reclaim their power. And only when they do will men have the ability to react against that and process, you know, the imbalance of the masculine and feminine within themselves. A man's job, really, in my estimation, is to take back the qualities of the heart, to reclaim that, to remember the emotional body, to remember what it means to support women. And that's a tall order for a lot of men, isn't it?
Yes, you're reminding me. I was invited by a shamanic woman to join her group one day. I was going to interview her. And when I got there, she told me to come at a certain time because it was a women's group, and so it had been going on for hours or days or something. And so when I got there, I saw this big group of women, and they were all sitting in a circle, and I just wanted to walk out and leave because I felt like, wow, the energy was so powerful that I didn't belong, or that, you know, they could have eaten me alive or something. I don't mean it that way. But, you know, when they saw me kind of looking the way I did at the door, they invited me in, and the assistant or the lady invited me in. And I didn't even want to join the circle because I felt like there was a sacredness that I wasn't clean enough, pure enough, or I didn't have the same high vibration that they had cultivated in that time. But I have to say exactly what you're saying, that after having joined their group, I felt like I was in a higher place, and I was so glad they invited me. And this is what the work that you're doing.
Yes. You mean about the rings and the circles and so on?
Absolutely, and the gathering of women and this vibration.
Yeah, there's a huge resurgence of this. Of course, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, there are a lot of women out there who have been working in circles and gathering the women and weaving various women's circles together on the internet. But it's really happening not only, you know, in the physical and on the internet, but in terms of consciousness. Moreover, in terms of consciousness, all of this is really alchemy. We've entered a time where I think we've realized we're fully capable of co-creating and manifesting. And so we really just have to gather and claim our power as women and decide what is it that we want to do, what is it that needs to be changed. And I think we just move in and do it. Mm-hmm. Do it on the inner planes. Now, you see, I have to quantify that because I always work in terms of consciousness. That's my realm. I don't so much work on the physical. But I think that these things outplay later on the physical. So we're seeing a huge shift now on the inner planes.
This show is so important to me that we are having this conversation, Lucia. I thank you again for being on the show and for doing what you're doing, because it is my belief from the women that I know that most of them feel like they're alone. And sometimes that might have been the case. You know how it is that you think you experience something, so you think it's that way. And even though something has changed, you still think it's that way. We're here to say together, aren't we, that it has changed, that you're not alone, you are thinking the right thing, and you can connect with others that are on the same plane, right? Or wavelength?
Yes, absolutely. And I get so many emails from women around the world saying, I've read your book and it all resonates with me. It, you know, the book contains some mystical teachings in it because I'm a mystic. And the book is really not a book. The book is a mystical experience that takes someone on a journey of beginning the process of unplugging their energies from a dying system. And so I receive emails from women all the time saying, you know, I've known this all of my life. But I think that the call is out. You know, we are either calling together our rings of power or we are being called. And I find, you know, I just was in Hamburg and Berlin giving workshops. And it was so beautiful to watch the women who came together and how they have continued to function together there. They've actually formed a ring of power, and now they're tapping into our rings of power here and my mystical base. And so there's this beautiful interweaving of energies that's occurring. I think you're absolutely right.
So how do women get to connect through you? I know you have groups and all of that. What is the website, or how do you bring them together? What can we share with our audience?
In a few different ways. I have something that I call Mystical Council. And so we do 3 teleconferences a month, and women come together for those. It's just for women. And the first one is always free in case someone can't afford the other 2, which are it's a very reasonably priced package, where we get together and we process. And we work it very collaboratively. I have a processing technique that I offer, and I'm also able to energetically remove past life structural blockages. But we all as a group focus on each woman as she processes, and by doing that, it speeds up her process of letting go of her conditioning or the removal of whatever blockage is there, and makes it very, very efficient. It's extremely powerful. I've also just retooled my Facebook group. Women can connect with me as Lucia Renee on Facebook, and I have a group called Women Standing in Their Power. And we've actually got a huge buzz going on this group because we're getting together and we're starting to discuss what is it that we want to tackle. We're going after Monsanto and fluoride in the water, and, you know, we've just got a whole list of things that we're going to start on and just work as a group, meet and have a meditation, have a discussion, set an intention, focus on that particular issue for as long as it takes in order to make it change, and it's extremely powerful work. I mean, I realize that sounds pretty radical, but I have every confidence that we're going to begin to do this work and do it very effectively. So they can connect with me and learn about the various offerings on my website. It's really unplugfromthepatriarchy.com or unpluggingthepatriarchy.com. Either one will get you there.
Okay, so unplug from the patriarchy or unpluggingthepatriarchy.com, just like the book.
Exactly.
You know, it does sound radical, and I love it.
So do I. It's very exciting.
Well, when you said Monsanto and all that, it reminded me of a video that I just saw on YouTube a couple days ago. I don't remember who sent it to me, of Lady Gaga. And she was making a call to her congressman, and she was saying, in this case, she was talking about don't ask, don't tell. But the point that I want to make here in regards to this show is she said to the senators through this video, don't pass this law, I don't remember if it was how it went, whatever it was that she was suggesting, but she said, don't do it. How did she say it? Whether or not you believe in it, do it because we are asking you to, because this law does not affect you. It affects another generation that is not you. And we are the ones that need to decide, not you. So when you said women are taking their power back and going for these changes, absolutely, these men that are making the laws, or even women, but they may or may not be affected by it. It doesn't matter. We are, and we choose, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, basically what she was saying was, do your job. They are representatives of the people, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying, is that you are gathering the women and having them stand in their power and doing what they know is right.
Yes, I mean, I'm just, my job as what I call a spiritual general. You know, in my book, I did a lot of soldiering. I was really on the front lines down in the trenches and doing a lot of the dismantling work. And then since then, I've been promoted through various ranks, and so now I refer to myself affectionately as a spiritual general. But my job is really to say to women worldwide, you know, to rally them, to inspire them, to say, you can do this. You're powerful, and it's time. It's time to stand in your power and take back the planet. Because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? As your friend said on YouTube, for the future generations.
And it can be done, and it will be done.
Absolutely, it will be done. It's time.
And you're a 5-star spiritual general, by the way. I've just given you another ranking.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Lucia, this has been extremely special and very important, of course, for all our listeners and all. And we just have a couple minutes left. And I just want to make sure that though we've covered a lot of bases and hopefully inspired a lot of hearts and a lot of women and inspired hope, that if there's anything else that you want to add that we didn't cover, that we offer you the opportunity to do that now.
Well, may I tell you about a special I've posted up on the website for your listeners?
Ah, please.
Yeah, because if they would like the book, Unplugging the Patriarchy, then they can go to my website that we mentioned before, unplugfromthepatriarchy.com, go to the archives page and look for Life Changes with Filippo, and there's a little red bonus button. It's just a secret button that we put up there, and they can get the book for only $9, and we cover the shipping and everything. So basically it's just covering our cost to get you the book. And
wow.
I think it's 16 for international callers because the mailing is so much more expensive. But and we have lots and lots. If you would like, you know, if you'd like a shot in the arm of hope, then just go and look at some of the archives, because there's an awful lot of free information there, a lot of free radio and teleseminars I've given. And I would invite your listeners to come and tap into it if they'd like.
Well, what a wonderful offer from a very special person. We've been talking about unplugging the patriarchy, and it sounds like, I know, it's the thing we all need to do. And so this book from the 5-star general, spiritual general, Lucia Rene, A Mystical Journey into the Heart of a New Age, can certainly help us do that, and especially women. So, Lucia, what a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I've totally enjoyed myself.
I can't imagine not having been able to have this interview, so I thank you and Susanna Gratz for making sure that it happened.
Mm.
And, of course, Dorothy Lee Donahue, who had these conversations to make this happen. Thank you so much, and I wish you blessed work ahead.
Oh, and the same right back to you. Thank you for the work that you're doing of making consciousness more available. Much appreciated.
Thank you, and we will have much work to do ahead in the future, so I look forward to that. Blessings until then. And with that, we now bring on Dorothy Lee Donahue, and you can see a new face. I'm going to change my face and bring on Dorothy Lee Donahue for the Change Yourself, Change the World segment.
Hi. This was exciting. I've been wanting her on for a long, long time. The 22nd of September is just another 2 days away. Not only is this the end of summer and the beginning of fall, this is the time of intense transformation for all. So I ask each of you to join me in becoming awakened and let us play the glad game together and rejoice in the new and powerful vibrations that playing this game will co-create. As an agent of change and a spiritual counselor, I see many people with all kinds of challenges, and most of these challenges come from wanting a situation to be different than it is. One of the books on my highly recommended book list is Loving What Is by Byron Katie, but another good choice that teaches the very same thing would be the best-selling 1913 novel Pollyanna by Eleanor H. Porter. This is now considered a classic of children's literature, with the title character's name becoming a popular term for someone with the same optimistic outlook as the protagonist. In fact, family and friends have called me Pollyanna lots of times. Our heroine is a young orphan who goes to live with her wealthy, but not so happy, and extremely strict Aunt Polly, who lives in a dispirited New England town. Pollyanna's philosophy of life centers on what she calls the glad game, an optimistic attitude she learned from her father. The game consists of finding something to be glad about in every situation. It originated one Christmas when Pollyanna, who was hoping for a doll, found only a pair of crutches in the missionary barrel. Seeing how disappointed she was, her father made up the glad game right then and there. He taught her to always look for the good side of things, no matter what. So what could possibly be good about getting a pair of crutches for Christmas when you didn't need them? Well, that was her father's exact point. Let's be glad, he said, because we don't need them. With this new way of thinking and her own sunny personality and unconditionally loving, compassionate soul, Pollyanna brings so much happiness and joy to her aunt's town that she transforms it into a pleasant place to live. By playing the glad game, Pollyanna transforms what most of us would consider unfair treatment into gifts. For example, when Aunt Polly puts her in a stuffy attic room with no pictures, no carpet, Pollyanna chooses to be grateful for the beautiful view from the attic window. And then there was the time when Aunt Polly was going to punish her because she was late for dinner, and she sends her into the kitchen for a meal of bread and milk with the servant Nancy. And Pollyanna genuinely and sincerely thanks her profusely because she likes bread and milk and she loves spending time with Nancy. Soon Pollyanna teaches some of the town's most sour and troubled inhabitants to play the glad game too. And although Aunt Polly resists the longest, finally she too succumbs to Pollyanna's refusal to be sad about anything, no matter how bad it may appear at first glance. However, even Pollyanna's optimism is put to the ultimate test when a car strikes her down as she crosses the street. At first, she doesn't understand the seriousness of her situation, even though she can't walk. However, when she accidentally overhears the doctor say that she'll never walk again, she reacts just as any of us would. Pollyanna is released from the hospital, and she chooses to stay in bed and feel sorry for herself. She begins to focus on her inability to walk, and thus is no longer playing the glad game. But then the townspeople start visiting her, and they tell her how much the glad game changed their lives and how much her encouragement has improved all of them. And then Pollyanna decides to look for something that she can be glad about, and she becomes glad that she's still alive and that she has legs. The novel ends with Pollyanna learning to walk again, and she's able to appreciate the use of her legs far more as a result of being temporarily disabled. I encourage each of you to join me in playing the glad game. When we focus on the positive, the light in our lives and in our world, we do change it. Being Pollyanna is a good thing. Instead of focusing on the one time our father beat us when we were young, let us be glad that he didn't sell us into sexual slavery, which happens so very often in many cultures. Instead of being critical of our neighborhood and our apartments and wanting a mansion, a penthouse like the rich and famous, let us be glad that we have a good home filled with love and light, and that we're not living in a rubble-filled aftermath of a monsoon or earthquake. Instead of crying that our parents threw away our Barbie doll collection, which we had stored in their attic for 20 years and which might be worth some money now, let us be glad that we were gifted with them in the first place and for the pleasure they brought us as a child. We can find all kinds of things to be glad about if we just focus. So please join me in playing the glad game and watch your life transform. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for. You are the only one who can end your suffering, and you can do this by beginning a love affair with you. So let us choose to become very conscious co-creators, and let us never forget that we are powerful beyond measure, and that we are love. We are lovable, and we are loved. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dorothy Lee Donahue.
Well, I could certainly find lots of things to be glad about today. I could certainly find lots of things to be mad about today, too. But that would be the mad game, and we have learned that that is just a mad game, as in insane. So the glad game it is, and actually I am so glad that I get to do this. I'm so happy, and though there was so much newness, and I don't think I would have worn a brown shirt in front of a brown rocks next time, and I'm glad that I have this opportunity to have this experience. So thank you to Buzz. Ken Sheets of BuzzBros.com actually did tell me to wear a yellow shirt. And I thought he was kidding. Of course, I don't even have a yellow shirt. So
you can borrow mine.
He says I could borrow his next time. So in any event, I'm glad that I got to do this. I'm glad that Lucia Renee was our guest and that she chose to be on our show when she has turned so many shows down and is actually not doing them anymore. So that's really cool. And she even mentioned on the show that she was hoping and waiting and wondering when she could do Life Changes with Filippo. That feels great. I like that. Okay, well, we're doing something right, I guess. I know. And hopefully we're doing a lot of right things. And so with that, I thank you all for being with us. I notice we have lots of viewers that have been staying with us the whole time. God bless you. And you've been, it's weird. You've just been looking at me. It's like, that's a weird thing to me. I can't pick my nose. I can't pick my eyes. I can't fix my hair. I guess I got to get used to it. Yeah, it wouldn't be very cool. So I'd like to thank you all once again for joining us today. And again, our guest, Lucia Renee, for joining us. We look forward to next week when we have actually another guest who's very hard to get on the show. As a matter of fact, he might actually be in was it Mongolia or something like that. So he either flies in that day or something. But Eric Pearl will be on our show, Eric Pearl of the Reconnection. So we're very grateful to have him. But unfortunately, because he's away, we're going to be doing him on air, on the phone. But we will be doing a live interview with him on camera, I think 2 weeks after that when he's in town. So we're all kinds of things are coming up that are really exciting. So that's next week. And remember, keep the conversation going as you have by being with us on Facebook and on YouTube and all these wonderful places. And also remember that today's show has been made in part by I'm noticing the viewers, like one person just left. I'm not done yet. But I guess the important stuff is done. I don't know. I guess I got to get used to this. Oh, one just joined us. Okay. Thank you for joining us. Today's show has been made impossible in part by Ion Ways, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Dorothy Lee Donahue and Love and Miracles. So thanks to them, and to learn more about them, visit our website at lifechanges.ws and click on their respective links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and today I've been coming to you live through livestream.com/buzzbros, BUZZBROZ. And that evidently that's up and going, and you can see other things on there besides me. And so we thank Ken Sheets again and Buzz Bros for that. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Legere, and of course, they're both producers, and our engineer, Seth, and of course, Ken Sheets, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.